A huge congratulations to Whalen Bay. They are the number one dealer in sales in the nation for Mako and Tahoe boats. How cool is that? Hey folks, Captain Kevin Faber here for Whalen Bay Marine, and I've been telling you for years how much I love the Mako Pro Skiff series. They're an absolute inshore fishing machine. But don't forget, they also carry tracker boats, Nitro Performance fishing boats, Sun Tracker pontoon boats, and Tahoe boats. Now you want some bigger news? Whalen Bay is now the dealer for Ranger boats. The new Ranger Saltwater Bay boats look amazing. Also Ranger Aluminum series and Ranger pontoons, which are perfect for fishing and just relaxing. So now, no matter what your boating needs are, Whalen Bay has you covered. And I can promise you that when you buy your new boat, all the folks at Whalen Bay will make sure your boat is rigged correctly and in a timely manner. You can do all this at Whalen Bay in St. Augustine, located at 845 State Road 207, or give them a call at 217-3778 or visit WhalenBayMarine.com. Whalen Bay Marine, your authorized dealer for tracker boats, Nitro, Sun Tracker, Tahoe, Mako, and now your full line of Ranger boats. And remember, every day is a boat show at Whalen Bay Marine.
It's time for the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show on 1010XL.
I'm gonna take you fishing, honey. You're gonna love it.
Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Here to help you be the best you. And now, here's Captain Kevin Faber.
Good evening. Welcome to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast. I am Captain Kevin Faber, and I have a lot to talk about. We got to get to it, along with Captain Ricky Purpore. Good evening, buddy.
Good evening.
Yeah, it's, man, I got to tell you, I have been the one to bemoan the weather that we've had in April in the last 5 years. But I've always said my favorite month of fishing is April. Well, this week's weather allowed us to do whatever we wanted to do, even in a bay boat, and it's going to continue. I mean, they're calling for west at 5 tomorrow, and then this weekend, west 5 to 10. And, folks, there's bait on the beach for the last 3 days. I mean, literally one throw and go. It doesn't get any better, man. And by the way, here's the funny thing. In the morning, you got to wear a jacket.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. You got to wear your rain jacket or some type of a windbreaker because it's chilly. The water's the warmest I've seen is 72, but you know it's 68, 69 in the morning, and when you're running, it's and then when you get back to Comanche Cove, you're like, damn, it's hot.
So where was the warmest water? 72.
It's 7-8 miles offshore.
Okay.
Yeah. And it jumped up a lot. From the beach to 7 to 8 miles offshore, and you know me, I don't generally go out. I don't have to go out very much further than that to right. do what I want to do. It's been a couple 3 years since I gotten on the flounder offshore, and folks, they're there. It is so much fun, you know. I mean, grab you a live well full of pogies and fish finder rig and. Go. This isn't a. I don't have like giant secret spots. You know, I don't. But
the bycatch is not bad either.
Yeah, the bycatch is even better. and here's the best part. There's the best part. I haven't caught one snapper this week.
Oh, nice.
Not one. And that's the reason that I've caught. I've caught flounder. I've caught cobia. I've caught. I sent you some pictures. I've caught some beautiful red grouper this week. Yep. I mean, like legal, like nice. I mean, like. Crazy legal red grouper. Obviously, they don't open back up until May 1st, and I won't catch another one. You know,
couple weeks.
Yeah, a couple weeks, and I've broken a lot of people's hearts this week because they're like, I gotta throw that back. I actually had called you because I was fishing with our buddy Trav, which we'll talk about that. You fished with him on Monday, and I knew Gag was closed, you know, but I didn't know about red grouper, so I threw him in the live well, and. I called you and you didn't answer. Then I remembered I got fish regulations
yep.
app on my phone and it said close. So we vented him and let him go. But wow, what a just absolutely beautiful weather, you know, for this time of year and it's supposed to continue all the way through the weekend. I'm fired up. I'm fired up for folks. By the way, I know I'm not supposed to say this, but I did see a tarpon this week, and I lost a really big kingfish today, 30 plus.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. I caught two cobia today, and one of them was I felt so bad for this guy, Paul. Ring Power brought him, and dude, he's fighting this fish and gets it up, and It's a 22 to 24 inch red grouper. I mean, and he's like, oh my God, it's my favorite fish to eat. And I'm like, yeah, I got bad news, you know? and he kind of got over it, right? Next drop, I mean, he hadn't even hit the bottom. His rod just doubles over, you know? And I see the line coming to the surface. So I'm immediately, I'm like, brother, you got a cobia. And it was a nice fish, you know? And we get it up there and, you know, we net it. And he's like, oh, my God, I love cobia. I'm like, well, it's 35 inches, so we got to throw it back. He's like, what? You know? Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, it is what it is. Those are the regulations, and you know you got it. So we caught all these fish today, and I came home with one flounder. You know what I mean? But that's the way it is now, bro.
Yeah. So what about the kingfish? It came off, spit the hooks at the boat.
So I had my 6,000 Saragusa.
Yeah.
Shimano braid, you know, with a cork. The Cajun Thunder with 50-pound fluorocarbon. I got it out there for a cobia.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And I saw the bait getting nervous, and I turned around to Paul, and I said, watch it. And I saw a really big boil underneath the bait. And the bait's coming, and she missed it twice. And you know what that means. Now she's mad. She just went, phew! And I was like, oh, my God. Look at the size of that kingfish. And she made a 10-yard run and bit through the fluorocarbon.
Yeah.
You know, so and immediately I went to a kingfish rig.
Yeah.
So.
That's cool.
Oh, it was two. I mean, you know, fishing with my buddy Travis yesterday, and it was just him and I. And, I mean, literally, we were talking that on the way in, we literally went through 70 baits between the two of us and never caught a snapper.
That's awesome, which means you're probably away from the sharks, too.
No, never saw a shark.
No sharks.
No. Very, that's the reason that we were able to catch what we did, because you could be patient.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Every time you drop, you're like, oh, snapper. But, I mean, happened to you on Monday, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. We got taxed on tax day.
Yeah, exactly.
April 15th. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean... The red snappers were every, we spot checked probably.
You were 50. Going cobia fishing, you and Travis and Travis Tabor, who fishes with me all the time, and Ricky, and then Captain Corey Sparks, which that's another story in itself. We'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah. So I mean, I got a hot report of where some cobia should be, and this is from a very trustworthy source, so we're
not anymore.
No, I fully expected it, right? I talked to him today too.
Okay.
No, yeah, we went and checked it, and I'm fully expecting that this is gonna be lights out fishing,
right?
This same thing happened last year, and this was like a week ago last year, so he told me he saw like 50 or 60 on the surface.
Right.
Oof. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's exactly what happened last year.
Yep.
So I'm expecting lights out fishing. And you know, we went and checked it, and I covered the entire spot. He told me they were, you know, a certain reef, and I checked it left and right, up and down, everywhere. We were drifting. Like, I got, after a while of spot checking, I got to where I felt like it was a good idea to bump troll those alien jigs with a live pokey on it.
Yep.
So it's kind of like jigging and slow trolling at the same time. Just did it a little slower, and I covered the whole entire area. But red snapper, and then the tax man. Which was a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. Ocean was pretty.
Beautiful ocean.
Yeah. It's, again, you know, we've talked about this, you know, the last few, no, last 5, 6, 7, 8 Aprils, we just haven't been able to get out much, you know. And I mean, this entire week, I was up at the property turkey hunting on Monday and Tuesday. But dude, I couldn't wait to get back. I mean, seriously, I was like, man, this is what it should be like in April. You know, again, I used to do 25, 30 trips in April every year because of fish. You could do anything. You could go flounder fishing offshore. You could catch big reds on the bait pods. Go cobia fishing. So it was exactly what I thought it was going to be. You know, I mean, Travis caught a really big flounder yesterday. I mean, you know, 6-7 pounds. And I don't know how many we lost. You know when you have a flounder on if you've done it enough, and easily 12, 15 fish. We got halfway up and they spit the hook. And you're like,
yeah,
yeah. It's a tough fishery, but it's fun. And the other thing that I've seen this week, Ricky, is there's a ton of pogies on the beach, which let's just pray that they stick around, you know what I mean, for the entire summer. But the cigar minnows and the sardines, dude, there's just mats of yep. them right now. I talked to Captain Zach Timmons at the dock earlier this week, and he said, dude, I put my kingfish rods on the boat because there's so much bait out there. And, yeah, that's exactly what I've seen, too.
The bait for the entire year has just been an exceptional – I mean, for like – starting like for the bonitas, like in
yep for the wahoo fishing.
Yes,
yep.
So every you know all the things that we try to catch for live or all the species we try to catch for live baits have just been it's been an exceptional year. And
yep.
like you said, a month ago I started finding the cigar minnows and sardines at these closer near shore wrecks on my way out to offshore fishing, and that's been exceptional. The bonita fishing and blue runner fishing was exceptional
yep.
in the midwinter, and then you know now we've already got pokey, so it I mean bait's looking really good this year.
Yeah, let's do again. Usually in the springtime the sardines and the cigar minnows are prevalent,
right?
You know, and then as it gets hotter they kind of disperse to the wrecks and stuff like that, which we didn't have any of them last year. We didn't need them because we had pokies all last year. So if all of this bait sticks around, oh, what a summer it's mm-hmm. what the rest of the spring and the summer is going to be.
That's right, because you know what follows the bait.
The fish,
that's
the
right.
predators. All right, let's take a break here on the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. Captain Ricky Papour, when we come back, I got a funny story about Captain Leon Dana from this morning.
Okay.
He doesn't even know. I think I'm gonna bust his chops a little bit. We'll be right back.
This is the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. Captain Ricky Before, Captain Favor, and I think we have Captain Prime Time, Leon Dana. I called him this morning, or no, he called me this morning, uh-huh. and I answered the phone. He had his truck volume turned up a little too loud,
yeah.
and I hit him with the hard Prime Time. He goes, wow, you just blew my eardrums out.
Woke me up.
Yeah. What's up, Leon?
Yeah, I was driving down Roscoe, yeah. and you hit me with the prime. You hit uh-huh. me with the hardcore Prime Time, and I damn near went into the ditch. You hit me so hard with it. What's going on, guys?
So,
beautiful Thursday. God, nice weather.
Oh, dude, it's magnificent. So I'm leaving. I'm going underneath the Volano Bridge this morning, you know, and I've got. My client sitting behind me, and I'm getting ready. I'm getting on a plane, and my phone rings, and it's Leon. I thought, well, I'd talk to him real quick before I go out of the inlet, right? So we're yapping, and all of a sudden he goes, "Are you fishing?" Just kind of like, I'm like, "Well, why does that surprise
what the hell
you?"
Do you think I should be doing?
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I thought that was so funny because. Are you fishing? I'm like, yeah, I'm getting ready to go out the inlet. And he goes, call you later, click. You know? I just found that. I was like, I had to giggle because he's like, damn, the old man's is going out the inlet. Yeah.
I'm just so used
yeah,
to seeing the
stuff,
pictures of
Leon.
You and fancy bass fishing.
I know. You're right. Yep.
You're right. I mean,
I agree. I said all along, I'm not going to start till April this year. And I think my timing's perfect. You know, I mean, March,
absolutely.
There wasn't a whole lot of days to do anything,
there
you
wasn't.
Know? I mean, and typical, Leon, I mean, you had some great days, and then you had some very, very, very slow days in March, you
yes,
know?
Absolutely.
So whenever this weather changes like this, it gets good. These fish are here, and, I mean, with all the bait on the beach, Leon, and Ricky and I were talking about it, the cigar minnows and the sardines and stuff. Good Lord. It wouldn't surprise me at all if you slow trolled 9 Mile and I'm going to say like Standish, the reef balls, that somebody's going to catch a wahoo. It's 72
Ooh,
degrees of water.
That's a mighty tall order there.
No, it happens every year.
It does.
It happens every
May, right?
Yeah, like that April May swing. Yeah, May, and this is the time of year to live bait chum for black fins on our local on our local waters.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I got
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to do on a pretty day this time of year. Not besides just bottom fishing. And by the way, for 2 days I've had a live well full of pogies, and I've got one out there, and I come back there every now and then, take you a big old scoop of pogies and throw them out there and see what happens. So anyway, it's all good, Leon.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just a lowly inshore fishing guy making the best I can in the valley. I'd love to get out there, boys, but you know what? I get seasick, and I just am not going to look like a buffoon in front of my clients.
Today it was 2 to 3, but I mean, it was at 9:30, 10 o'clock, the wind quit, and it was still so nice and cool, but there was very little seas.
Were they spaced out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I listen, in a bay boat, I mean, I ran straight into it at 22 knots this morning.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? And then coming home, I could have done 40 if I wanted to, but that's not me.
Right.
I did 25, 27, you know, knots. I mean, and to keep everybody comfortable. And it was so interesting, Leon. So we got done at noon. And we're getting ready to run in, and you had to put your jacket on. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was still that cool offshore.
Wow.
You know, and again, once you – what? Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know you didn't experience that today being inshore, but
– You hit a wall coming through the inlet.
Yeah. I mean, it's like whoosh.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely you do.
Yeah, last
Sunday
I fished. Is it
a heater box when you come through?
It is.
It's hot.
Yes.
Yep. You can feel it. It's like it comes over you all of a sudden. It's like a wave of temperature. But last Sunday, my wife and I went fishing for cobias on the manta rays down in Ponce Inlet.
Uh-huh.
And it was probably 4 foot seas.
Yeah.
But it was so spread out that you couldn't tell.
Right.
There was any sea at all. So, like, she has a little issue with motion sickness also. Mm-hmm. Not at all on
That's
that day.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Is that the first time that you've taken her to see the rays?
Second time.
Okay.
Yeah, but it had been a long time. And I was telling
Good for
her,
you.
I'm thinking it was 15 years ago the last time I personally caught a fish off of a ray.
Goodness
oh my.
Gracious. It's 15 been a, years?
It's been a long time. Yeah.
That's a long, long time.
Yeah.
I mean, we've...
And Ricky, how old are you now?
Like charter guests. I'm 44.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So,
he was in his John boat then.
That's true. That's what I had.
Yeah.
For the last 4 years, I haven't had a charter guest catch one off of a ray.
And Leon, I know you've done it, but that's a tough charter.
Yeah,
It's a tough charter. You know, I mean,
everything has to play out just right weather wise. It's got to be very low wind conditions.
Yep.
You know,
and sun.
Yes, and part of the reason I bought that boat was because of the tower. You know,
right,
it has that upper driving station. It doesn't anymore, but it did
right
up until last year. And yeah, it's just if the water clarity is not good,
right,
they get, only
so
got to go down 2 feet and you can't see them.
Yeah, Leon. So the last 2 or 3 days. Coming in the inlet, obviously we've had an outgoing tide, right?
Right.
And I know there's a lot of boats at the ramp, so I know what they're doing. A lot of people are running up and down the beach looking for rays. There's been a absolute beautiful rip in St. Augustine, and there hasn't been a boat on it.
Yeah.
You know,
one boat.
Again, I'm coming in at the end of my day, so I run it just to see if I see a, you know, like, oh, my God, there's a ray.
Right.
You know what I mean? I haven't seen one. But
or a free swimmer.
If I'm going, yeah, that's right, exactly. If I'm going cobia fishing tomorrow, I'm going to go. I'm going to start because I am. I'm starting at 8 o'clock. I'm going to go offshore. I'm going to bottom fish with some live pogies, and then I'm going to be on that rip at 11 a.m. and I'm going to take my time. I guarantee you that those rays and those cobia are on that rip.
I haven't heard any reports of them being up this far yet, but they've got to. The water temperature, you said.
You talking about the rays?
Yeah.
Yeah, they got to be here.
It's got to be close.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were migrating south from Ponce last week, but that doesn't mean anything. And one night they can make it up to Matanzas, and then the next day on past you or so.
Yeah, they can be at Nassau Sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do agree, Leon, that I don't think the Rays have come by St. Augustine yet.
I don't think so either.
Oh, I don't feel that.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think we still got
much
time.
Fun, though.
Yeah.
We talk about, like, I had forgotten. I was like a little kid. Amy took a video on my phone of me catching that fish. I forgot how much fun that is to sight fish for cobia, cast a jig at him, or whatever you cast at him, and pull him off of that ray. And when he eats, you lay the wood to him. And there's no feeling like that. It's awesome.
It is. Because there's so many aspects to it.
Yep.
You have to position the boat correct. You have to make the right cast. By the way, if you're going to throw live bait, I get the jig. If you're going to use Cajun Thunder.
Yep.
You know, that's a tip for folks, Leon. Simply for the fact that
it keeps the bait high.
When that ray's up on them. Yeah, and there's a lot of propulsion behind that ray. You know what I mean? And so there's a very good chance that bait is going to swim around the wing of the ray or something like that. But if you have a Cajun Thunder, don't put much, like a foot and a half at the most. Leader, you can float it right across his back. Yeah. And it gives you a little more weight to throw.
Sure.
What's that you used to throw? The Thunder Chicken, Leon?
Who, myself?
The float?
I was throwing those Coxie corks at them that had that little wind sheeter on them, that 3/8 ounce weight that allows it to punch through the wind. That always seems to work well for me.
I mean, yeah, that would be perfect.
No doubt. A little bit of weight always goes a long ways.
Yeah. Yep. So, Leon, you sent us a picture today of this crazy technology that you have now. And you were marking, because I know exactly what marker I've fished there my entire life, okay?
Sure.
So you marked a school of redfish and in 25 feet of water, 30 feet of water? Is that right?
No, they were in a little bit shallower. I'd say they were about 15 to 17 feet of water. And
So just to reiterate, that's not where we normally fish. We're normally throwing towards the bank. Okay.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
And, you know, I got myself set up in a spot lock, which, for those of you know, all of our troll motors of today, the technology allows you to be GPS enabled to lock yourself into a position and keep yourself with the wind and the current. And I am running a Hummingbird 360 fish finder, not live scope. But it is the same thing as side scan, but it rotates in a 360-degree ray, and it allows me to set the distance, and it allows me to just adjust everything, contrast, your sharpness, the whole nine yards, you know, how I want to sit around in the column and what I want to pick up. And I was at the beginning of the oyster bed was 38 and a half feet out, and it went out to almost 50 feet. Mm-hmm. This oyster bed, and I could sit there with my clients and tell them the redfish are entering the oyster bed now. They're coming down from 12 o'clock to 11 o'clock to 10 o'clock. They're circling around, fire out 38 feet. And they were singling and doubling up all afternoon on those redfish. I mean, it's just, and I'm my client, Von Beasley, today looked at me at the end of the chart and goes, I am a complete believer now in that technology, because when you said the fish are not there, there was not a fish to be, there was no bites whatsoever. But when I said, here they come, and they'd cast, they'd catch them every stinking time. I mean, this technology that's out nowadays, I'm telling you, I use it to my advantage. Just, it's one more card, it's one more arrow in my quiver, and I've used it multiple ways now. Spot lock, power pulling down, I can't wait until tarpon season this year when I can pull up the bait pods and I can there and scan bait pods and tell you exactly where the tarpon are in the bait pod. It's just, you know, I mean, I look at it the same way. Well, I'm using this scanner to find fish and watch them just like you use your game finders, your game cameras, and you can see where the deer are and what time they're coming in and what they're doing. You know, it gives you, it doesn't help you, it doesn't help them eat, but at least it gives me one more little card to go, okay, they're there, or I don't waste my time and move on.
Okay, so the picture that you sent us, all right, how did you figure out that that's redfish?
You can tell the length of the marking, and if they're really close, by God, you can see the body of the fish, the tail, the head, the contour of the head. I mean, you go, that's a damn redfish. I had a pack of snook go by me today, and I go, look at that. Those are snook right there. I mean, clear as day, you can see that elongated snout of theirs as they go by. When you can see, when I pull up to the docks and I'm fishing, you can see the sheep head right up against the pilings. You can go, okay, fourth piling over, there's two sheep head on the left. You know, I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean, the technology is it's great.
It is. I just go back to not trying to sound like old guy, but when I first started, I had my 23 Seacraft. I had a VHF.
Yeah,
that was it. I had a VHF, and the only reason I had a VHF is because my daddy said you were going to have a VHF for safety. You know, so I had a VHF.
Right.
That was it, and oh my God, we killed the fish. You know? Oh, so cool, Leon. Thank you for sending those pictures. And by the way, are you going to send us a video?
I took so many videos today. I took 89 videos today, and it has been it's on a GoPro. It's been downloading for hours. So I think I'm getting close to being done to put it all together.
Wow, that's such cool stuff. All right, buddy, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, take care and have a great evening, guys.
Yep,
you too.
Yeah, man, see you, Leon.
Captain Leon Dana checking in on the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. We're going to take a quick break, and Captain Ricky and I will be right back.
The Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. I'm Captain Kevin Faberson with Captain Ricky McCore. And this segment's brought to you always by www.landandlawn.com. Go to the website, check it out. They did my lawn. Everything looks amazing. And by the way, they also could do pavers. They could do pressure washing. They pressure washed my driveway. They did everything at www.landandlawn.com. Right now, let's go talk to Captain Chip Wingo. What's up, Chip?
What's up?
What's up?
This is awesome. Not prime time here, buddy.
Can you think of two prettier days to fish than yesterday and today? I'm serious. And tomorrow is supposed to be like spectacular, and Saturday and Sunday. We'll do the forecast at the end. But I'm teasing it, man. I see the boat ramp being ridiculous on Saturday and Sunday.
Absolutely. Last weekend it was.
Was it really?
That's what – I mean, Captain Scott Shank called and said that –
7 a.m.?
Yeah, it was like the closed parking lot. And I was at Ponce last weekend, the same thing. It was packed down there, just crazy.
The biggest thing about fishing out of Ponce, though, Chip, is there's 20 boat ramps.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's not one. You know, and by the way, if you ever go down there, man, they are such nice ramps.
Yeah.
The public bathrooms and everything. I mean, they really take pride in their boat ramps.
Something I thought was really cool about down there is that it was just a two-slip ramp where a really good backer could, you know, you could put two boats in each slip.
Yep.
But there was two slips, and there was a way to get your boat out of the way off to the side like, because I
so the next guy could go.
Yes,
right.
So it's it. I was in a long line waiting. You know, I didn't show up down there till 9:30 in the morning because we're waiting on the sun to come.
So at 9:30 in the morning, you have beachgoers.
Oh yeah,
you packed. Know, jet skis. You know, at Chip at 6:30, you don't have all that. You have fishermen.
Nope.
And they have a big no wake zone down there.
Yep, they do.
And the bumper to bumper, four rows deep going each direction. It was just unbelievable the amount of boats.
Yeah.
Yeah. But hey, that's a good time. I'm,
It's organized. And like I said, go ahead, Chip.
I was going to say, it's just really tough for me. I walk down and, you know, boats sitting on the water waiting.
Whatever. Yeah.
Step on.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Palm Cove Marina. It was so the ball,
dude. That's so cool. it was interesting. I was cleaning my boat today, and there was another captain down there. He runs a big boat, and they were doing an oil change on the boats. And he's like, "Man, have you ever thought about just leaving your boat here?" And he's like, "Taking that boat in and out of the water every day and traveling and this, so that's a pain, isn't it?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it is." You know, I'd love to leave it at Comanche Cove and do the Chip Wingo thing.
Yeah.
But, and by the way, I don't think they have any slips available.
Yeah. I thought about it for a while, too. But
it's expensive.
I kept my boat there for over a
year. I think there's a 3-year waiting list where I'm at to get in. I mean, it's just people are begging to get in. But
that's amazing.
No, it makes it just nice because I can say, "Hey, let's go at 10 o'clock on a Saturday."
Yeah.
You know, or hey, let's go on the tide when the tide's right, and you know, and that it's beneficial to me because you get on the bike, you know, instead of catching part of it. But it's on fire up here, guys. It's on fire. Everything, jack, Spanish mackerel, bluefish, redfish, black drum, you know, big bonnet heads. I mean, I saw thousands of mullet today at the tip of the rocks with the jetties. I've never seen mullet here that early. It was crazy. I mean, just crazy.
You know, I don't know if you heard earlier in the show, I was telling Ricky just mats and mats of cigar minnows, Spanish sardines. It's crazy how much bait there is around right now. And by the way, just on my little live bottom spots, just the markups, I'm like, there's fish here. There's no doubt, you know, because a lot of live bottom spots, you know, it doesn't look like much.
Right.
But whenever you go over a live bottom spot and it marks up, you're like, oh, here we go, you know. And by the way, I've said this before, no snapper. You know, this was all other predator fish. So it's good.
Wow.
You're right, Chip. It's been a great spring.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching the spinner sharks already just smoking it out there, you know, and I'm like, wow.
Yep.
I mean, you know, it's just, it makes me excited for what's to come. But, you know, it's like now I want to go out there. You know what I mean? I want to go out that way and look around
absolutely.
All the time instead of fishing inshore. But, or what I say inshore, you know, fishing the river and fishing the, but it's weird, Kevin, our black drum.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yep.
Our big black drum.
No, I was just saying, you know, you and I fish a lot alike, Chip. I mean, I do like to go venture off, you know, a little further than you do. But sometimes as a charter captain, you got to break up that monotony of fishing inshore every day, you know? I mean, Chip gets that itch. I mean, he wants to go to the end of the jetties and catch big black drum or run down to the Jack's Beach Pier and catch some pogies and fish bait pods. In this time of year, when you get this weather, I mean, I'm sorry, but you go back to being a kid again. You know, you're like, here we go. We get the, you know, I'm excited about tomorrow. Yeah. I mean, like, way excited. West winds at 5, and there's bait all over the beach, and I can go wherever I want. Whew.
Hey, I never thought this was going to happen to me, but I am not wanting to do the long runs anymore. I'm ready to, like, you know, all winter long, I've been making that 40 to 80, 100 mile
run. You don't need to.
Yeah, I'm ready to fish up close to the beach, you know, 10-mile run or something.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ricky, Eduardo's ready, buddy. We're going to do that trip and video it with you. We're going to go, Kevin, we're going to go after a Goliath with a hand line. That's my Estuardo Vargas is my Yamaha tech. He owns Jackson Mobile Marine. He wants to get one on a hand line, so I'm like, so, I got so, the guy so that can take
tell
it
me
there.
Tell me the setup. What's the setup on a hand line?
He wants to hand. Yeah. So a rope. We're gonna have a rope and then like probably 300-pound monofilament, a big a hook as I can find with right. a welded eye. And then a big live bait, like if we can catch a Jack Crevalle or
something.
Stingray.
And how do you get it down?
We can use a lot of the right.
So if you use a bottom, you can weight it down. Or if you like that can get expensive if you keep losing them. So
okay,
because they swim into the wreck almost every time,
right?
And you also have to back off of the wrecks as when you get them hooked up. Like you got to back off.
Okay.
Get him away from the wreck, but if you use like a blue runner or mm-hmm. a fish that wants to be on the bottom,
okay,
he'll go down there on his
own. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah,
huh?
But it's got to be a big bait.
It has to be a big bait.
And if you use like a sometimes I'll use a dead bonita.
Uh huh.
Well, that gets sharked a lot.
Yep. Exactly.
But so do the big baits, the live baits. So, I mean, it's kind of like – but you're more likely to get sharked with the bonita than you are a big live bait.
Okay.
We could also drop it down on a downrigger, though, Ricky, and pull it out of it, you think?
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah, you could drop it down on a downrigger.
Oh, to get it down.
Yeah, to get it down there.
Yeah. And then pop it out. So I'm just excited. I called him. He's excited. He wants to do it. So.
Yeah, I want the video of that.
Yeah, that's going to be a good time. And honestly, you can pull a lot harder on a hand line than you can a fishing pole. You can.
100%.
Yeah, you can 100%. Put 50, 60, 70 pounds on it.
Chip, whenever I have a big jack on, that's a big one, 30, 35 pounds, and he gets down underneath the boat and people have been, and they just don't know how to put the pressure on him. I can grab the line. Mm-hmm. And ease up 2 feet. Yeah. So if I got a rope to hang on to, now, a 500-pound Goliath, that would be awesome.
They tug pretty hard. It's a battle to start with.
Yeah.
Yeah. But after they get done, they're done.
They kind of come up. I got you.
And we're not looking for the 500-pounder. We're looking for the 100-pounder.
100-pounder. Okay. So maybe
200.
So now we're being picky.
Yeah. Well, if there's 500-pounders in this area that we're talking about going, I'm not unaware of it, but there could be. I mean, I caught one that was 250 there.
I know.
It all day long. I mean, I don't know how big he was, honestly, but he could have been bigger.
And Chip, I will get you in this conversation too. So whenever you're bottom fishing and you hook a 10-pound snapper, all right, and it gets eaten, do you know the difference between if it was a shark or if it was a Goliath?
Absolutely.
Okay, how?
Because the Goliath grouper is not, you're not going to feel the tail beats, and the Goliath grouper is just going to glide along the bottom. He just takes off. He's just cruising. Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when you see people do that, Chip, they're holding on, right? And you know, they got the fish, all of a sudden it just stops and it just starts swimming away. I'm like, that's a Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
So, Black Drum, real quick, how much longer do you think they're going to be around?
They're not. Well, they're at the jetties, but I covered all the way up past the Dames Point today looking for them. I mean, I burned a lot of fuel today, but we went looking for them, and they just – I mean, I'm marking what I think is them because on my down scan, I can tell they're big fish, you know, but they're just – they weren't eating. You know, I don't know what the deal is. I know there's been a few caught here and there, but, you know, I'm marking 50, 60 big fish in one area, and I can't get them to eat crab, clam, grenades, rocket launchers, they won't eat anything. So, and, it's frustrating.
I've seen a lot of pictures earlier in the week from Captain Kirk. He's he's caught some.
Captain Scott Mullen is all over him out there, you know. And we fished out that way today, too. And then I realized we found out it was the wrong tide. But, You know, it was awesome to see everything else going on.
That makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. So, you know, but like I said, to see the inlet lit up is awesome. Go ahead.
No, you talked to me earlier. You caught a bunch of bonnet heads today?
Yeah, big ones, like the big three-footers. They were stacked up in the sand in about 26 feet of water, an area that I can catch some nice drum and redfish out of. And we were putting down crack crab, and it was just every one you put down was whacked immediately. And they're the big ones, you know, the big ones you can take home and eat. So, and, but, you know, he wanted to release them. He got some pictures, and, you know, we let him go, and he was having a blast with it. Like we were talking, something that pulls drag and that hard, you know, because they fight hard, especially out deep.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or in deeper current. So, you know, they've got that friggin' planer on their head. So they stick it down into the current. They can go wherever they want, it seems like. So, but there's big bonnet heads. There's a lot of pompano out there, too, in the sand, you know, which is another thing I haven't really targeted. But I love that they fight so hard, too, and they're delicious to eat, too. So, this is going to be a week of an end, as much long as it'll last, going out there every day, you know, because I want to be out there. Water is beautiful outside the rip.
Take total advantage of this weather this time of year, because there's so much to catch, you know. And, and these fish, they, I mean, look, Travis and I were talking about my favorite water temperatures are 68 to 75. Unless you're totally kingfishing in the summertime, all right, you know, or tarpon fishing in the summertime, but whenever right now these fish are totally feeding, and all of them, I mean, again, flounder, cobia, the grouper, the drum, the bonnet heads, everything. I mean, you guys just whacked the fish on Monday, so it's a great time to fish right now, Chip.
Yeah, and I mean inshore. Still good too. Go ahead, Ricky.
Yeah, and further offshore is exactly the same. I mean, I talked to some of your old buddies today, Kevin, on the Rick Baker's boat.
Yeah,
Captain Cole.
Yep,
came in and they had like a dozen mahis.
I saw some mahis in the trash cans.
Yep, and some skipjack too. Nice. So I mean, you know, it's not like fired off yet, but it's coming.
Yeah.
And then same thing with like the wahoo. People are still catching wahoo, still catching tuna fish. It's a little bit hit or miss, but then in the middle grounds, you know, there's wreck fishing for cobias. I mean, the sky is the limit right now.
You can
go fish for whatever you want.
Yeah, you can stay on the beach, or you can go 40 miles offshore.
Yep.
It's that good. Chip, thanks, buddy.
You got it, guys. Have an awesome night.
Yep.
Our man.
You too. All right, let's take a break here on the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show with Captain Ricky Poore, Captain Kevin Favor. When we come back, we're going to look at the forecast and see what it looks like this weekend and maybe give you some options on where to go fishing. We'll be right back.
It's the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss on 1010XL.
All right, Captain Ricky, let's get into this weather forecast, because I mean, if I was to dream up a weekend in April, this weekend, bro. I mean, I'm dead serious. So tomorrow, west winds 5 to 10. You're going 40 miles?
Probably 55 to 60.
55 to 60. You going mahi fishing tomorrow?
Yep. Got to find blue water. Well,
okay.
I say that, but I'm going to try to find blue water.
You're going to try to find blue water.
Or something floating.
Or something floating. So do you have a number, a particular number that you're going to go mahi fishing? Or are you going straight out and start looking at the conditions?
That, but I have a little bit of help. I have an app on my phone. It's called Rip Charts. Mm-hmm. And I have a good idea of where the blue water will meet a sea surface temperature that I think is conducive to fishing.
Okay.
And yeah, that hopefully.
So you're just putting ballyhoo out at that time. How many rods you got out?
I never more than six, most of the time five.
Okay. Who's first mating for you?
Josh will be mating for me tomorrow, yeah.
All right. Folks, Saturday, southwest winds 5 to 10, becoming south in the afternoon, seas 2 to 3. Sunday, southwest winds 5 to 10, 2 to 3. even Monday, north winds 10 to 15. Look, I'm going to give you options because this is going to be the weekend to fish offshore. And when I say offshore, I'm talking about beach fishing. If you want to look for rays, cobia, what I would do, we talked about this earlier, is pick a spot, any numbers that you have that are 5, 10, 15 miles offshore. Go, run in on the beach. But in St. Augustine, there's been pogies all over the place from the lighthouse to the pier. I would run in there, and by the way, the sun's got to be up. If you leave at 6 o'clock, you're not going to find pogies. That's why tomorrow, every day this week, I've left at 8 o'clock. By the time I get there, the water's, the sun's coming up. You don't need to get in a hurry. Get some live baits. Pick your spot offshore, whether in any of them. I mean, it's Standish, Reef Balls, 9 mile north, 9 mile south, Desco, whatever. And there's plenty of fish on. And when I say that, obviously you're going to catch a snapper, but you're going to have a chance to catch a cobia. You're going to have a chance to catch a flounder. There's all kinds of fish around these places right now. And if you want to fish the rays, come in back on the beach around 11 o'clock when that sun's just getting up high enough to where you can see. Get in. I always start in 40 feet of water, and literally you just start idling north and south.
Yes, and you do not want to run on these rays, like running. You don't just stay running the whole time up and down. After you find a few rays, you settle down in that area, and you just go. You idle around looking for them.
Yeah, generally speaking, if there's one ray, that's where they are.
Yeah.
You know, keep in mind, not all the rays are coming to the surface, right? So there's others down below. Yes, you're absolutely right. And I would stay, if you find a ray, stay within a mile of that area. You kind of go in zigzagging back and forth. Best rig in the world is a Cajun Thunder, 50-pound fluorocarbon, 5-aught J-hook, pogey, a live pogey, throw it right on top of the ray. And
totally agree. That's the best rig for
it. Yeah, it's easy to throw. People lose their mind when they see a ray and a cobia is on top of it. I've seen them throw it left, right. You know, bait come off.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing: don't get right on top of the ray. And when I say that, get your angler ready on the bow. And say, okay, we're going to ease up, and you should know how far your angler should be able to throw that, all right? But it's an idle thing. Keep in mind, these rays have been thrown on, and they are spooky, and they will go down in a heartbeat. So,
and if you hook that ray, the game's over with.
The game's over.
Yeah.
No question. Folks, make sure you join us for the Nimnik Chevrolet Outdoor Show brought to you by Duck Duck Rooter on Saturday morning. We'll all be there. Myself, Jeff Loggeman, Captain Kirk Waltz. For Captain Ricky Papore, I'm Captain Kevin Favor. Enjoy the Gators baseball game coming up. See ya.
See ya.